Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks. I'm so glad to have you along for this edition of Ancient Future Faith. I'm Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program, also the pastor of a church called Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community here in Sacramento, California. As always, I'd love for you to zip over to the Epiclesis website to learn more about us. Best of all, I'd love to have you worship with us on a Sunday morning. We meet at 10:30, and it's in the Carmichael region of Sacramento. One of my favorite guests ever to have on Ancient Future Faith is my friend Brenda Zamorano, who is back in the studio today wearing sunglasses. You look so Hollywood.
I have to wear my sunglasses. Hi, everyone.
Why? No. You have to tell us why you have to wear your sunglasses.
Yes, I have to wear my sunglasses because I left my reading glasses at home.
Gotcha.
And I have my sweet journal here in case I need to reference it.
Gotcha.
So here I am.
It's not necessarily trying to look Hollywood.
No. Okay. It's the brilliance of your presence, Pastor Chris.
Oh, mercy. Mercy. We're off to a wild start on this edition of Ancient Future Faith. Brenda, I love having you on this program. And I have to say once again that I'm forever getting feedback from folks out in the community. And even you yourself said when you came in today that you listen to our programs because it's like we're stepping outside of ourselves. Well, when Holy Spirit comes and controls the conversation. And we like to learn from our podcasts as well. Yes.
This morning I listened to two of our former podcasts. Mm-hmm. Reason being, I was with someone sharing about our podcast. She said, would you send the one on fear to me? So I thought, I'm going to listen to it again.
Yeah.
I was so encouraged because God's truth never changes.
No, and when you tell folks that you're a pastor and you go back and listen to your sermons, people might be tempted to think, oh, well, he just wants to hear the sound of his own voice. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes I don't even remember what I preached because the Holy Spirit comes right along beside and is prompting and encouraging, and it encourages me too.
Yes. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And part of what I see in David's life, he would speak to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a way, just doing that this morning, I thought, okay, I can do this. Which is to come and sit here in the studio with you as we prayed for anyone that would hear the sound of our voice. They will be encouraged by our time together.
Well, I'll tell you what encourages me, and that is I kind of had an idea about what we would talk about, and I shared that with you when you came, and you took that and put another spin or added another layer to it, which, as always, only enhanced it, and it kind of sort of changed the direction a little bit of what we're going to talk about, and that always tells me that God's got something going on here, don't you think?
Yes.
Well, I want to talk with you about, control. I want to talk about trust. And I want to talk about the heaviness, the great heaviness that we all feel these days, especially those of us who are believers, about just the weight of the stuff that's on us these days. Are you sensing and hearing and feeling that in your own therapy practice?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm feeling it in my own personal life.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking over the past month, there is a statement in the book of Genesis that says that Lot's soul was vexed because of what was going on in the city he lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit before people. They don't always have the language for what's at the root of what they're so overwhelmed about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But see, I think that really impacts how we control on the outside of us.
Yes, I'm right with you. And the thing that I was thinking about over the last few days was how much I see even Christian people trying to control And in some ways, it only makes sense, right? Because we've got so much stuff just whirling around us. You want to try to grab some control wherever. But it really does come down to a desire to control, and B, that we might not trust God as much as we thought we did.
Many of us feel a sense of urgency. We don't use that word, but we feel an urgency that when you turn outwardly, there is so much going on in government, in the schools with our kids. We go to the grocery store and everything is costing more. Gas, everything in our lives is drawing upon us more and more and more.
Right, and becoming heavier and heavier.
Exactly. We have limits. And so if we don't learn how to acknowledge our humanity and that we have limits, we will be tempted to try to control more and more on the outside of us so we can have a good outcome.
Would you be willing to say that control is one of the most prominent fruits, if I can even use that word, of feeling overwhelmed or heaviness or lack of trust, etc.?
I would say that the bad fruit of control is one of the primary fruits that breaks down relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's ironic, isn't it? The more we try to control things and people and language and circumstances, the harder relationships get.
Yes. See, control is the bad fruit. Fear is the root.
Yeah.
Because my fear is I'm not going to have what I'm going to need when the next bad thing happens.
Would you also say that fear's closely related twin is lack of trust? Am I on the right track with that?
Exactly right, because fear is always going to break trust. And guess what? Especially toward God.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this. As humans, we're geared toward our comfort.
Sure.
And when anything happens that disrupts my comfort, that irritates me. If I don't have an awareness of turning to the Holy Spirit, in those irritations, they mount up within me.
Yeah.
Then, as those irritations mount up, unfortunately, I can have an explosion. And that explosion can manifest itself in so much violence and so much fear increasing all around us.
Which leads me to one of my observations and one of my suppositions about many Christians, and see if you even agree. I think for so long, Christians in this country had it so good and also conflated, say, place in society or government or politics or that kind of thing mostly going our way. I think we may have conflated our relationship with those things with our relationship with God. And so when those things start to go bad, when the economy tanks, when the politics aren't like we want them to be, etc., we've lost confidence. And we, I think, if we're not careful, may feel that as a loss of confidence in God.
Paul the Apostle writes, "Oh, that I might know him, that I might fellowship in his resurrection and might also fellowship in his sufferings."
Yeah.
And the American church, we have been so blessed because God has granted us grace over 200 and some years to live in a freedom that most of the world has never lived in. So we have gotten soft because we connect our personal peace with no suffering.
There you go. Yeah. I even had somebody, it's been several years now, but oftentimes if you disagree with a pastor on something, you get it secondhand. And this person let it be known that they didn't want to hear anything about suffering. They didn't want to hear anything more about suffering. And I thought, wow, that's powerful even in and of itself. Let's take a break and say, folks, you're listening to an interview with my friend Brenda Zamorano. She is a prayer counselor, has her own ministry out in Folsom, and has done so many wonderful things for so many people, including me. I'm a big fan of hers. And we're talking today about, well, goodness, control and fear and lack of trust, that kind of thing. And Brenda, I want to pick your brains about this. Someone someone out there, believer, may think, well, I'm not particularly fearful, or I don't think that I'm trying to control, but let's throw out some of the symptoms that may be an indicator that there's more fear and desire of control and or lack of trust than they might realize. Can we do that just a minute? I'll get us started. I encounter people occasionally who feel like they have to control the conversation and they have to have the last word, and they want to make sure that you know that they know what we're talking about, and they've got it all boxed up and tied up in a bow. And I walk away from that circumstance and that conversation thinking, this is a fearful person who has got to have even control of the language in the conversation in order not to feel overwhelmed and heavy. Do you think that might be an example? Well, somebody who's got to control the conversation?
What I'm hearing in what you're expressing is you're in the presence of someone. When they were young, they felt like they weren't seen or listened to. So now as an adult, see, so much of our control begins when we're kids, because we start believing lies about ourselves. And we've talked in former broadcasts how Satan uses lies to distort the God identity. And so one of the big expressions of control is when someone has to demand that what they think and the way they see something is the way it really is.
Yeah.
Because they have so much fear in them that they could be wrong.
All right, let me ask you to throw in one. What might be another symptom of someone feeling out of control, or the weight of just news and social media and politics and everything around them? What might be another symptom?
I'll share with you what I see that is really unfortunately growing is a lot of our young people are cutting themselves. A lot of our adults are drunk and smoking pot and trying to escape through some form of addressing the pain because they feel so out of control. See, all of those choices undermine us learning what's really going on inside of me.
And then self-medicating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because see, when I feel out of control, the natural tendency is to reach for something to help me feel in control again.
Okay, so somebody might say, well, I'm not smoking pot, I'm not drinking, I'm not out of control on food, but they might be a hoarder, right? Or compulsive shopping. Or
anger is another really big behavior.
How so? Talk about that. Unpack anger just a minute as a symptom of the desire to control.
See, anger is always covering up hurt.
Wow.
And controlling outwardly is my effort to try and make some things more tolerable.
Yeah.
Rather than recognizing I need God's mercy with every breath. So when something is hard or difficult, Holy Spirit wants us to turn and talk with Him. Okay, Holy Spirit, I need your help right now. Because when we turn inward, we focus on ourselves, and that control fills us up through stress, anxiety, and a whole lot of mental and emotional torment.
You said something earlier before we began recording about how our bodies and our minds, our spirits, cannot help but receive and be impacted by the heaviness of things around me. So if somebody's thinking, none of this stuff bothers me, they're probably really deluding themselves. But it also occurs to me to say that if there's somebody out there listening who doesn't even necessarily think about the ways that they may want to try to control things around them as a symptom of, say, fear or lack of trust, then I guess what we're saying to them today, Brenda, is stop a minute, take a look at some of these symptoms of control, And then ask yourself some hard questions about control. And then turn to the Holy Spirit.
Here's a question that I ask often that can be very insightful. Write down your thoughts about how people should treat you.
Okay, let me make sure I understand. You ask people to write down
how you think people should treat you.
Should treat you, okay.
Because that's going to tap into expectation.
Walk me through that. How does that work?
See, if I come to see you and my mental and emotional expectation that you made me lunch, I don't eat. Because I'm basing my decisions on an expectation I never communicated with you. I get over here, there's no lunch because we're doing a podcast. I'm irritated. And then I'm a little ticked off.
I got some cheese and crackers, if that'll help.
See, if I have an expectation that doesn't line up with reality, I'm going to be angry. So a great deal of outward control is connected to internal unrealistic expectations.
Okay, that is so good. You need to say that one again. Do it again.
A good deal of my outward control is connected to my inward unrealistic expectation.
And if you have inward unrealistic expectations, you probably don't have a lot of peace, and you do have a lot of vexation, to use that term.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Because I can't know the sickness in my soul unless I'm around other people. Just get married. You'll find out. Or have a roommate. Or go get a new job with new people. Or have children. Because all of us, in our relationships with one another, that is where we get to discover, where Jesus is inviting us into the healing of the unrealistic expectation on the inside. Jesus never lived his life in an unrealistic expectation toward anyone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus never overshared. He said, I only do what the Father is doing. Jesus lived in such a union with his Father through Holy Spirit that he walked in the beauty and majesty of complete obedience. Well, that is the invitation for us now. We're sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
But the key to our being a son or daughter is living in obedience to what Jesus says instead of how our soul feels.
Right. And in our disobedience, we turn to other things.
Yes.
To medicate or whatever, or to occupy our attention, and we try to control. Brenda, somebody out there right now may be having an aha moment, or if not an aha moment, at least a moment, where they're thinking about this. Am I a controller? Am I trying to control things around me? Is what I really need some peace from all this heaviness and vexation? What would you say to somebody out there who's thinking right now, maybe I've been trying to control because I have a lack of trust?
I would ask, we could start with asking the Holy Spirit, because he knows everything. And when I ask him, Holy Spirit, how am I doing today at trusting in you with all of my heart, and not leaning on myself? Oh, he is so good. He just instantly will bring up a memory, a conversation, a moment. He's not unkind to me, but his conviction is really so very loving, because he helps me to see something so that I can say, okay, Holy Spirit, will you help me to rely on you and stop trying to fix everything on the outside of me.
Mm-hmm. Or control everything on the outside of me.
Because that's what control is. It's trying to fix something so that life won't feel or seem so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so the admonition of Scripture is that I have to choose. I have to trust in God, or I will trust in myself. And control is me trusting in me, that I know what I should do. And I think for most of us, that's a big danger.
Yeah.
Because I know how to, let's say, I've done counseling a long time. Oh, I know how to do that. Beware. I come every day, Lord Jesus, I don't know anything, but I do want to know you. And everything I've learned, studied, been trained in, I offer it to you now so that you would guide and lead me through the very presence of your Spirit for each person that is going to come in. Because for each of you and all your relationships, all those people in your lives, they all have fear. They all also have been wounded by someone controlling them.
Yeah.
So what we're wanting to do as people who love Jesus and love people is that we can be that oasis of refreshment, healing, most importantly, God's truth.
Yeah.
Because God's truth provides a sure foundation under which you will have security. Your security won't come any longer from controlling something. Your security shall come from a union with this beautiful God who has a future for you that is secure.
Oh, that is so hopeful. Christian friend, could you use a little peace right now? Bet you could. Bet you could. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Stop trying to control. It's just a symptom of something else. And ask the Holy Spirit to shine light on those places where we need to, well, let go of the vexation and turn toward him for some peace. Brenda Zamorano, I just think you're the cat's pajamas. I really do.
Thank you so much for giving opportunity that we could come together like this, because we're in times they're not going to get easier.
Mm-mm.
And yet Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled. So all of us are joining together in this beautiful agreement that God has got us. Mm. You remember that song, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yes.
So often I just feel him singing that over me, that he wants to remind us, fear not, my little child. Because though everything feels out of control, God has got all control.
He surely does. Because he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yes.
Brenda Zamorano, thank you so much for joining me today. And folks, until we gather for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to really be pondering this. Surely, the road to our Christian future does and must run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, folks. Pastor Chris here with a little note to say that we're right in the middle of one of the best times of the whole Christian year, the celebration of Easter. In the ancient church, Easter was a season of rejoicing, not just a day, and the Easter season is a great opportunity to see what ancient future Christian worship at Epiclesis looks like. Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.